Hey, George. Thanks so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Hey, I'm calling you from California, but used to be stationed in Biloxi, Mississippi, out of Keesler Air Force Base.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Actually, it's where they fly the hurricane planes out of.
Yep.
And I got a lot of family in the South. Actually, my aunt lost her house in the Gentilly District in New Orleans, and a good buddy of mine, my own flight instructor, just bought his first piece of property just north of Galveston, just talking to him earlier, said it took him 48 hours to get to San Antonio. And looks like they're going to be all right, but, you know, one man's good fortune
is another man's
bad fortune
demise,
in this
yeah.
case, yeah. Anyway, the reason why I called, well, a couple completely different things. I'll get to the most important one first, leave the second one at your discretion. But I'm a wildlife rehabilitator out here in California. I work with the Department of Fish and Game. Basically, half my job is fixing wild animals, and the other half is educating the public about, you know.
Now, what do you mean fixing them? If they're injured or something like that?
Sure. It's fairly common. There's a lot of various wildlife hospitals, SPCA centers, and the public will find, you know, a hurt bird or a squirrel or, in some cases, a deer or a raccoon and, you know, don't know how to deal with it, and we're the people they come to. And being very familiar with the South, I know that right now there's going to be tons of displaced. Well, you know, it's finally getting some coverage, all the displaced domestic animals like
oh,
pets,
sure. yes.
dogs and cats. And there's some very serious public health issues here that understandably are not getting enough media time. And a couple weeks ago, I'm actually a pretty big fan of the show, and a couple weeks ago, Friday Night Open Lines, it kind of took a turn towards these stories of people who had found animals.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very, very alarmed at one of the stories I heard, and I actually sent an email to you about a week ago, but I know you get a million emails a day. So one of the callers related a story about how they found an opossum and had nursed it back to health, and said that they had done some research and found out that it was, is nearly accurate as I can quote, they said that something to do with the receptivity in the brains of opossums makes it impossible for them to get rabies.
That
is absolutely, completely not true.
They can get rabies, can't they?
Any mammal can carry rabies. I mean, although it's never happened, theoretically a whale or a dolphin could carry rabies. Yeah, raccoons and creatures of their size or smaller are less likely to carry rabies than larger mammals simply because they won't usually survive the bite of the animal that will give it to them. You know, for instance, like a rabid coyote bites an opossum, it'll give it rabies, but then it will also eat and digest it, so it's a moot issue. But it
exactly.
is possible, and a very simple Google search will give you statistics for each state for each year of rabid opossums that have been found. So I just wanted to get that out there because, excuse me.
Well, why would she come up with that?
Well, because there are certain other theories that, for instance, opossums have slightly lower body temperatures than most other mammals, and this may make it a less hospitable host for the rabies virus. But it is certainly possible for them to carry this. So somehow, I'm sure, you know, she had the best intentions and she was just misinformed, but it does become an issue. And now you're going to be finding much more displaced, you know, opossums, raccoons, small mammals, and all of these dogs and cats that were formerly domestic are now going to go feral, and they are going to be hunting these things.
Oh,
so you're going to see higher incidences of... You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, yes.
So you're going to see higher incidences of rabid animals that were previously domesticated and acclimated to humans. And rabies is just... It's a terrible, terrible, terrible disease. There's
Can you tell if an animal, if a dog, for example, is got rabies?
Very hard to tell. You know, there's so much folk wisdom and urban myths surrounding
foaming from the mouth and stuff like that. That doesn't happen?
Yeah, you might see that. You know, rabies is also known as hydrophobia, and in some cases you will see that, but it's really, really hard to tell. I mean, dogs will, for instance, you know, my dog will go for a walk and sniff where another dog did his business, and he'll start foaming at the mouth. It's just a habit of theirs. He's
I've got a producer. My producer, Tom, foams from the mouth all the time. You know, so he might have rabies for all I know.
Well, get him inoculated.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, so it's a dangerous thing, and another real big concern that, you know, those of us in the wildlife rehabilitation community, such as it is, are very worried about that doesn't get any public attention is the roundworm that is carried in the feces of raccoons and a few other mammals. And this is just, they're actually, the CDC is looking at its potential use as a bioterror agent. Because
the roundworm as a bioterror agent? Why? What does it do?
Its scientific name is Balisascaris procyonis, and it is a parasitic organism. And it actually, from a scientific, biological, evolutionary standpoint, it's just this magnificent creature. It has developed this life cycle where it grows in the intestines of, for instance, a raccoon. There's several subspecies, but the raccoon roundworm has evolved to live in the intestine of these raccoons, and I have seen specimen jars full of a kilogram of like 100 of these long stringy worms.
Come on, you don't have to tell us. Sure. Don't get so graphic.
Okay. So anyway, it's certain areas around America, up to 50% of raccoons in different urban populations have been found to be infected with
it. Okay, so but what's the bottom line here? What do we do about it?
The bottom
this?
Line is that every time a raccoon goes poop, can I say poop on the radio?
Well, you just
did.
I
just did, right. Every time a raccoon goes poop, it's got several hundred million microscopic eggs of this thing that can live, or can not live, but remain viable.
I know, but what do we do about this?
What you do is you do not keep raccoons as pets ever.
Okay.
You don't leave pets.
See, you could have told us that without the graphic display here.
We have, on average, there's a couple confirmed deaths. Human deaths from this.
Oh, that's serious now.
And yeah, it's very serious. But we estimate, and those are the confirmed deaths, we estimate that it could be anywhere from 5 to 10 times more because it's simply not the kind of thing that anyone would check for.